Let's talk about, I want to give you a brief introduction and brief preview to the science of hadith terminology. The terminology of hadith, ilmu mustalah al-hadith. Wa ilm mustalah al-hadith is a very important, it's even though it's only in a preview, but it should help you a great deal, inshallah ta'ala. The ahadith, or the science of mustalah al-hadith, the terminology of hadith, we look at the hadith from two classifications. One is hadith mutawatir. Mutawatir. Hadithun mutawatir. And the second kind is hadithu ahad. Ahad wa mutawatir. طيب. These are the two general classifications. A mutawatir, hadith mutawatir means what? It means it was narrated by more than one person. Let's say, يعني العلماء said, علماء الحديث, they say, it is narrated by more than one person that is logically and intellectually impossible for all of them to agree to fabricate it. How do I say that? For example, إنما قال روى الإمام البخاري ومسلم في الصحيح عن من حديث عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه قال إنما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إنما الأعمال بالنيات. For example, we say this hadith was narrated by 17 Sahabis. One was in Sham, one was in Iraq, one was in Hijaz in Mecca, one was in Medina, one was in Yemen, one was in Khurasan, one was in Egypt. All of them narrated the same hadith. In different places, it is intellectually impossible that these people can even commit a forgery like that. Impossible. Intellectually impossible. So that's hadith mutawatir, narrated by more than one individual. Of course, that means narrated by more than one sahabi, we mean by priority. And we, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, consider as-sahaba radiallahu anhum in their entirety to be udul. As-sahabatu udul. Udul means they are just. What do we mean by just? And this is something that we have to talk about a little bit maybe. Just doesn't mean perfect. So we don't get confused. Just, as-sahaba radiallahu anhum, they are just individuals. It doesn't mean that they are impeccable. Because they're human beings. And to us, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, nobody has ismah but the prophets. Salawatullahi wa salamu alayhim. And the last of the prophets is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina. Where are we asleep or are we awake? Because I don't want anyone to be stingy. It's okay to say it loud. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad. The checklist is coming now. Everybody who did that from yesterday. No, I know everybody is waiting. Tayyib. We don't, Asma, Imam, Ma'soom, we don't have that. We have Anbiya, Ma'soomin. Prophets that have Asma. After the Anbiya, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they are very close to perfection, but they are not impeccable. So we say they are udul, they are just. And just means, in the mustalah, or in the terminology of the scientists of hadith, that they do not lie on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, they could make mistakes. We're not saying they can't. No, they could. But when they narrate hadith, or when they say something on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they do not lie. And roughly, the scholars of hadith mention the number of sahaba around 124,000 sahabis. So also you want to think about this, that really the entire population was sahaba. Yani the government of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad. The government, he was the head of the government. Salawatullahi wa sallamu alayhi wa sallam. And the entire population was sahaba. Then this is the beauty of things, subhanAllah. Anyway, so anyone who met him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anyone who saw him, and anyone who didn't see him, but the Prophet saw him, he's a sahabi. It's an honor. It's an honor that we cannot reach. And Allah chose those people to be blessed, to be in these environments and these spiritual atmospheres, massive spiritual atmospheres, overwhelming atmospheres of blessings, to be around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah give us all this tawfiq to at least go and get some of these blessings when we go and visit him in Medina. But we say this honor does not automatically entitles anybody for perfection. Everybody is human. Therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself say, this is the Declaration of Human Rights. You know, they in Geneva, they in 1940 something, they came up with Declaration of Human Rights. Everybody is free. Geneva Convention, all these things, everybody is free. Muslims, 1424 years ago, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam produced the first document of human rights. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha, wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu, inna akramakum 'inda Allahi atqakum. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ
يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Everybody is equal. And he says right away, كُلُّكُمْ لِآدَمْ وَآدَمْ مِنْ تُرَابْ. This is the first declaration. First item, number one, human rights, كُلُّكُمْ لِآدَمْ. All people, all of you from Adam. And Adam is from mud, from soil, from clay. End the story. This is a human right. Everybody's equal. Huh. Now, Al-Mutawatir, who is narrated by... Stop, sometimes I go off, so it's okay. If you keep let me go, we will... we have to go back to the subject. Al-Hadith Mutawatir, narrated by more than one Sahabi. Al-Hadith Al-Ahad is narrated by one Sahabi. For example, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari narrates by, for example, by Al-Farbari. Bukhari to Al-Farbari, to Ibn Abi Sa'id, to his father, to, for example, Ibn Umar, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. 5-6 people. Bukhari, in between Bukhari and Muslim. One person. That's ahad. Now this is the two classifications. Let's go to the grades of hadith. The classifications govern and subject all the grades of hadith. The first kinds of hadith we have, hadithun sahih, which means authentic hadith. Remember, the classifications subject all the grades. In other words, an authentic hadith could be authentic hadith mutawatir, or could be authentic hadith ahad. One hadith sahih could be narrated by many people, or could be narrated by one. So, hadith on sahih. And then the second class comes hadith on hasan. Hasan means acceptable or good. Not authentic, a little bit lower. Slightly lower. Why? The men, the narrators of this hadith, are not as strong and not as famous as the narrators of Sahih. That's called ilm al-rijal. And ilm al-rijal, the science of men, of narrators, everyone is different. طيب. So the first one is al-hadith al-sahih. Then al-hadith al-hasan. And then, after Hadith Hasan, we have the third classification is Al-Hadith Al-Da'if, which means the weak Hadith. And Imam Al-Suyuti and others said that we have about 36 or 40 or 50 even different kinds of Hadith that is weak. About 50 different kinds. Maybe the chain of narrators is discontinued. Maybe one of the narrators is not known. Maybe for example, it negates other hadith that are stronger, etc., etc. So many different kinds. We have about 50 different classifications, or at least 36, what Imam al-Bayquni narrates in his Manzuma, in his Matin, about 36, 37 different hadith that is da'if. Now, the fourth classification, it's not a classification of hadith, but it is attached to it, is al-hadith al-mawdu'. Mawdu'. Mawdu' means forged or fabricated. Of course, this is not a hadith. Forged or fabricated is not hadith. Mawdu'. Among them, for example, I'll give you example of al-hadith al-hasan al-sahih. We gave examples. For example, innama al-amalu bin-niyat wa innama likulli imri'in ma nawa. Al-hadith al-hasan, for example, what Imam Tirmidhi narrated in his Sunan, and he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you see a man coming to the masajid, then witness that he is a believer. Hada hadith hasan. And in the science of hadith, you look at the hadith and you see that the hadith, does this hadith coincide with an ayah that supports him? Does it coincide? Does it have supporting evidence from the other hadith? And we look at this hadith and we see it does. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said for Surah Al-Baqarah, إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Look at the meaning of the ayah. Those who come to the masajid of Allah are those who believe in Allah on the Day of Judgment. So it's really what? It is very supporting to the hadith. Therefore, Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah ta'ala said, Hasanun sahih. This is a different classification, but we don't want to get into too much details. Tayyib. Sahih, Shaykh Ali? MashaAllah, barakallahu fiqh. Alhamdulillah. Tayyib. Hada hadith hasan. Hadithun da'if. An example, I will give you a hadith da'if. For example, that between hadith Ibn Mas'ud, that's narrated by way of Ibn Mas'ud. There's many hadith, but I don't want to get into too many issues. But there's a hadith narrated by Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu. It doesn't mean that Ibn Mas'ud is the problem, by the way, just so you know. It means somebody at the lower levels. Because Ibn Mas'ud can never be a problem. Ibn Mas'ud is the solver of the problems. With Ibn Sahabi, like Ibn Mas'ud, if he was here, he would probably solve all the problems while he's drinking some tea. You know, do this, end the story. حتى أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد. He used to say, anyone who wants to learn the Sahaba, anyone who wants to learn the Quran, go to Ibn Mas'ud because it's fresh on his tongue all the time. هذا Ibn Mas'ud. خذ القرآن غضا طريا عن ابن أمي مسعود. هذا حديث صحيح. Ibn Mas'ud said there's a hadith narrated by him that says, for example, between the first heaven and the second heaven is 700 years, and then 700 between the second and third, and so on and so on and so forth. Hada hadith da'if. Hadith mawdu' forged, an example would be La tusayyiduni or ikhtilafu ummati rahmah. For example, there's a hadith that people say, the differences of my ummah is rahmah, mercy. The hadith doesn't exist. Or the hadith that says, for example, لا تسيدوني. It means, supposedly, do not call me Sayyid. And in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're not supposed to say Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or Sayyidina Muhammad. Of course, this is a forced hadith, mawdu'. Because it's in the Arabic language, you don't say لا تسيدوني. You say, لَا تُسَوِّدُونِي. So there's a problem linguistically. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he is the most, he has the best command over the Arabic language among the Arabs. Even though he did not go to any school. But actually he did. You know which school? Jibreel alayhi salam. Wahi.
إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى.
إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. Who has Jibreel as a teacher. صح؟ طيب. So we have the classifications are two. We have hadith ahad wa hadith mutawatir, and then we have the grades of the hadith, the general grades. Now we have hadith sahih, we have hadith hasan, we have hadith da'if. Now, just to give you a little bit further insight, the science of hadith is a beautiful science, and I urge everybody, and I encourage everybody to go into this science of hadith, because this is the real inheritance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are those who follow the science of hadith. The hadith sahih has further two classifications, sub-classifications. Sahihun li dhatihi wa sahihun li ghayrihi. Sahih li dhatihi, it means it is authentic because of itself. And sahih li ghayrihi, it means it's authentic because of other supporting evidence. In other words, if we want to go to the anatomy of hadith, and let's go into the anatomy of hadith just a little bit. Every hadith has two parts. As-sanad wal-matn. As-sanad wal-matn. Al-matn means the text. For example, innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat. This is the text. Hada one part of the hadith. The second part of the hadith is al-sanad or al-isnad, which means the chain of narrators. These are the two parts of hadith. Now, when we say hadith sahihun li dhatihi, it is authentic because of itself. That means two things. The sanad and the matn, the text and the narrators, are both authentic because they fulfill all the conditions. When we say a hadith that is sahih li ghayrihi, or it is authentic for other supporting evidence, it means there's usually a problem not in the matn, but there's usually a problem in the sanad. The chain of narrators, is something wrong with it, but it is, the hadith is authentic because of other supporting evidence. I'll give you an example of a hadith sahih li ghayrihi. روى الخطيب البغدادي رحمه الله في التاريخ في تاريخ بغداد وغيره عن غيره. Others narrated by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. That the Prophet, he said, طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. Which means, seeking knowledge is obligatory upon every Muslim. This hadith has problems in the isnad, but it is sahih. لغيره, it is authentic for other supporting evidences. So many other scholars narrated it. So many other Hafaz of Hadith narrated it. And it is also supported by other evidences in the Quran and the Sunnah. Therefore, we call it's elevated to a Hadith Sahih for other supporting evidence. This is very important that the reason I'm giving you this preview in the science of Hadith and the terminology of Hadith, because we have to know these things anyway. I mean, how long are we planning to go in our life without, when we hear hadith, without knowing, is this hadith sahih, or is it da'if, or is it wamudu', or is it hasan? We need to know. And you have to know. This is your right to know. And therefore, we're not raising the bar on anybody. But those who want to speak, they better have the right classification of hadith. Why? So we don't confuse each other. Because the hadith sahih is known for everybody. Everybody can go back and reference it. Right out there. But once we go into other hadith, then we might go into problems. Now, Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, the consensus basically of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, of when I say the consensus, that means most of people, not everybody, not because it's impossible for everybody to agree. Right? It's in our genes, maybe. May Allah make us all agree. But anyway, that in aqaid, in the science of aqidah, in the science of tawheed, in the science of belief, we only take a hadith that are authentic. Only sahih hadith are taken. Only sahih hadith. Not necessarily mutawatir, but mutawatir by definition first, And also ahad, if it is sahih. And now the question says, why do you say that in aqidah, which means faith, articles of faith, why do we only rely on hadith that is authentic? Very simple. Because aqidah is something firm that you must be convinced of and that is unshakable, that is beyond any uncertainty and above any doubt. And therefore, if the hadith is hasan or the hadith is weak, there is a doubt. And you cannot have doubt in faith. Faith and doubt cannot be together. Faith cannot be doubtful. That's not faith. Faith is solid, unshakable, firm. And this is the beauty of Islam. Because the faith and the tawheed in Islam is based on unshakable grounds. Now, in fiqh, the scholars, of course, Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, which is one of the really pillars of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Imam al-Nawawi, who more than everybody knows him, of course, by name, Riyadh al-Salihin, and more than that, more important than even Riyadh al-Salihin, his book on explanation of Sahih Imam Muslim, the translation and the explanation of Sahih Imam Muslim, that Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah depended on this book for years and years, hundreds of years, is by Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah ta'ala. Abu Zakariya Yahya ibn Zakariya al-Nawawi. Al-Nawawi, Dimashqi al-Shafi'i. Radiallahu anhu arda. Al-Imam al-Nawawi said, it is not, and this is, I would like everyone to please take this, and this is an important, because Imam al-Nawawi was hafiz al-Hadith. Imam al-Nawawi said, it is not permissible to say, or to attribute a hadith to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, unless this hadith is either sahih or at least hasan. In other words, you should not say, qala Rasulullah. Qal, which means Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, unless this hadith is either sahih or hasan. A hadith da'if, you should not say, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just because he said, there may be a doubt that the Prophet didn't say it. Salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi wa alayhi. Now, in fiqh, we take, of course, the hadith that is hasan and the hadith that is sahih. In fada'il a'mal, for example, someone wants to pray 20 rak'ah a day. Somebody wants to give zakah. Somebody wants to fast more. These things, or encouragement to do ibadah and these things. The ahadith, many of the scholars says that the ahadith that are weak could constitute a light, little help for you to see that maybe on the permissibility of it. But under any circumstances, it does not, cannot substantiate an issue in aqaid. Of course, and we don't want to talk about the hadith that's forged and fabricated because that's not even a hadith. No. Now that we have shed, and I would like you to review that on your own also, and to always, when we talk about anything in the deen, in this deen of course, that we try to see what kind of hadith it is, and where does it fall, what classification, because it's our deen, dear brothers and sisters, and we are concerned with this deen, we have to know. If you want to get close to the beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have to know at least the classification of his words. Did he say that or not? Now we move to al-aqidah tahawiyya. Why we say tahawiyya is different from anything else? The reason is because Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, as al-Imam al-Hafiz al-Subki, rahimahullah ta'ala, and Imam al-Hafiz al-Subki, the scholars used to call him the second Shafi'i of his time. Until now, Subki, they said, that if you talk about the second Shafi'i, the Shafi'i of his era is al-Imam al-Subki. And the Imam al-Subki, rahimahullah ta'ala, look, his son was also a scholar, Abdul Wahab. Imam Abdul Wahab al-Subki, and his father, Imam Ali al-Subki. Subhanallah, look at this. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why you have to be, why do you want to be pious also? Allah preserves your kids. Remember that in Surah Al-Kahf? Everybody read Surah Al-Kahf? And when Al-Khidr wa Musa alayhi salam, inshallah some other time, we don't have time now, but some other time, when Al-Khidr and Musa alayhi salam go into that village, and after they couldn't, they came, they said, "We're hungry, can you feed us?" "No, get out of here. Anything, no bread, nothing. Go." Rough, rude. And Al-Khidr with them, and Musa alayhi salam, the prophet and messenger of his time on earth, and with him the wali of Allah. Really, Al-Khidr alayhi salam was a Nabi, not a wali, was a Nabi. And this is concluded by Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah ta'ala, which he concluded that Al-Khidr alayhi salam kana nabiyan, was not a messenger, but was a prophet. And there is a difference between messenger and prophet. Huh? The messenger comes with a new message, but the prophet comes to revive the old message of the messenger before him. So every messenger by definition is a prophet, but not every prophet is a messenger. Therefore, how many prophets do we have? Yani, there's a weak hadith, by the way, narrated by Bayhaqi, but also we take it to what? It gives you a light, a little light. Weak hadith, that the amount of the prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent on this earth was 123,000. 123,000 prophets. And then there's messengers, and you see the messengers, and they have the messages for the Quran. And among the messengers, then the elite club of the messengers are who? Ulul Azm. Five. Those are the top notch of all the prophets. And who are they? Who are Ulul Azm? Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, wa Isa, wa Nuh alayhi salam, wa Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So those people, they're Ulul Azm. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned them in the Quran specifically and called them Ulul Azm. Tayyib. Allah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad. Where did I stop? Before I got here. Tayyib. Then, we said we are Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and we following Imam Tahawi, the Aqidah, where Imam Shubki said that this is the second Shafi'i. There's a consensus among Ahlul Sunnah, he said. Al-Khalaf, Al-Salaf wal-Khalaf. Al-Salaf means the predecessors and the ones after them, to agree on what Al-Imam Tahawi Al-Hanafi has wrote in his Aqidah. That it is the Aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. And therefore, from that time till now, from 200 years after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, until now, you see people taking this text and studying it in almost every Islamic university, everywhere you see Al-Aqidah Tahawi. Now, Al-Imam Tahawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, you say, why did this happen? What's going on? As you all know, after the second century, especially after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we had many sects in Islam coming out. A Shia came with their sects. Shia by themselves, you have more than 70, 80, 90 sects. Al-Khawarij, so many sects. Al-Khawarij, يعني Al-Baghdadi, rahimahullah, that said there's at least 24, 25 different sects in Khawarij only. Al-Mu'tazila. Al-Mu'tazila also, يعني those who write in the books of Mu'tazila, they said there's at least about 40, 50 sects in Mu'tazila, by themselves. So you have all these different people that came. Al-Batiniya, okay. So all these people, they started saying, coming out of and saying, we're Muslims. The scholars of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they were forced to what? To put the borders and define those group of Muslims that strictly follow the book of Allah and strictly follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because we Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we believe, simply, number one, the only ma'soom, the only perfect ones are the prophets. Number two, we believe success in this life and in the hereafter can only and only be attained not through the opinions of men, through the following of the book of Allah and the authentic sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no other success. Everything else is maybe right, maybe wrong. But the book of Allah, there's no maybe right, maybe wrong. And the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no maybe right, maybe wrong. And therefore, it is inshaAllah ta'ala designated as the successful sect. But I will tell you this. Sallu ala Rasulullah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad. One of our scholars who passed away, his name, Sayyid Muhammad Zamzmi, rahimahullah, in Morocco, he passed away about 12 years ago. He was a muhaddith, and he wrote a book. He said, most of those people who call themselves nowadays Ahlul Sunnah are not truly Ahlul Sunnah. They're Ahlul Bid'ah. And the students say, Sidi, why? Why do you say that? Because he said when Ahlul Sunnah called themselves Ahlul Sunnah, they called themselves Ahlul Sunnah because they are following the Sunnah. But nowadays people call themselves Ahlul Sunnah and they follow the Bid'ah. Because it's not just a name, we are this. It's a matter, it's a translation of the practice, of the reality. We are Ahlul Sunnah, that means we should be following the Sunnah. If we don't follow the Sunnah, then we don't become Ahlul Sunnah, we become Al-Bid'ah. Following innovations and all these things. And therefore, it's not just labels. And the reason I said that, he said it's not about labels. And there's, it's a good lesson to learn from what he said. Rahimahullah. May Allah have mercy on his soul. Why? Of course. They called themselves, the reason they said, we are Ahlul Sunnah now, because they said, we will follow only the Sunnah. We don't follow anything else. And other people, they said, no, we said, this Imam Ma'soom said this, and this Imam said, and other people said, no, we don't know it. So may Allah make us among those who follow the Sunnah and practice the Sunnah. And not just say we follow the Sunnah, because saying is easy. Anybody can say. وَكُلُّنْ يَدَّعِي وَصْلًا بِلَيْلَى. Everybody says, I love Layla. That's what the poet said. Poet said, وَكُلُّنْ يَدَّعِي وَصْلًا بِلَيْلَى وَلَيْلَى لَا تُقِرُ لَهُمْ بِذَاكَ. And Layla doesn't really have any relation with anybody. Everybody says, I love Layla, but Layla doesn't really care about any of them. Because everybody says, I follow the Sunnah. Where is the Sunnah? You follow the Sunnah. I'm Ahlul Sunnah. Where is the Sunnah in your life? So I can see. Then I say, okay, we're Ahlul Sunnah. But we say we're Ahlul Sunnah, but we don't follow the Sunnah. That doesn't work. May Allah help. So the scholars were forced to form, to say, here are the boundaries based on the book and the authentic Sunnah. This is what Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe. And therefore, of course, you have Imam Abu Hanifa, and you have Al-Imam Shafi'i, Al-Imam Ahmad, Al-Imam Malik. Those are known as Al-Fuqaha of Ahlul Sunnah. Because they were known more for fiqh rather than hadith or usul. Of course, now we have three subcategories. We have Al-Usul. What I mean by Usul, Usul al-Din means the fundamentals of Deen. And in the fundamentals of Deen, of course, those who were known to be the pioneers were, for example, Al-Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, Al-Imam Abu Mansur al-Maturidi, other Imams of Ahlul Sunnah. Even though Imam Abu Hanifa, even though he was more in fiqh rather than usul, but he was the first one to write about usul deen, al-fiqh al-akbar, the great fiqh. طيب. Then we have the other fuqaha, for example, al-Imam al-Arba'a. Of course, they were more than four Imams. In other words, I don't want you, some people think that this is like four Imams, like the Shia, like the Twelvers, the Shia Twelvers have 12 Imams. It's not like that. Yeah, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, at the beginning, we had hundreds of Imams, of Mujtahid Imams. Sufyan al-Thawri, al-Awza'i, al-Hasan al-Basri, Abi Thawr. Yani Imam al-Junayd al-Baghdadi, for example, rahimahullah ta'ala, al-Junayd was a faqih on the madhab of Abi Thawr. And he gives fatwa at that time, Al-Junayd al-Baghdadi himself, on the madhab of Abi Thawr, rahimahullah ta'ala. But these are discontinued. People didn't follow or didn't support enough or something, so they discontinued. So what we have left, we have these documented, well-documented, four schools of thought, four schools of fiqh, that translated and transferred the fiqh of Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. None of these scholars, rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Abu Hanifa, or Imam al-Shafi'i, or Imam Malik, or Imam Ahmad, or others, nobody said, like some people think, that you have to blindly follow us, not follow the Quran and Sunnah. No, no, no. All these scholars, they spent their lives serving this deen and transferring what they understood from the book and Sunnah. to us. And even then, after all that, this is what the Shafi'i said, and Abu Hanifa said that too. If you see me saying something, and the hadith said something, follow the hadith. This is their humbleness. So you see how knowledgeable those scholars were, radiallahu anhum ardahum. Now the other classification of scholars, those who are fuqaha, were known to be in the fiqh, and fiqh basically is deducting judgments from the book and sunnah, on, for example, ibadat and other things. Others were in suluk of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, for example, and the ibadah and the worship of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And those who were, for example, like Al-Junayd al-Baghdadi, rahimahullah ta'ala, who said, you know, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, when they asked him, what is your tariqah? Because everybody says, what tariqah? He said, this is my tariqah, Al-Kitab wa Sunnah. Everybody's tariqah should be kitab wa sunnah anyway. Any other tariqah is not the, everything is kitab wa sunnah. This is the tariqah. They said, ya Imam, Junayd al-Baghdadi, rahimahullah, Sayyid al-Ta'ifatin. They call them the master of the ta'ifa, yani of all the pious worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, what is your tariqah? He said, ilmuna hadha muqayyadun bil kitabi wa sunnah. Our knowledge, our way is basically displaying, not only displaying, figuring or putting in figuring the Kitab wa Sunnah, representing the Kitab wa Sunnah. That means it's bound by the Kitab and the Sunnah. Because anything that's not bound by the Kitab and Sunnah is somebody else's. So, like them, for example, Al-Junayd al-Baghdadi, Abdul Qadir al-Jailani, Ahmad al-Rifa'i, Shah al-Naqshband, all these scholars, there were scholars of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah who had knowledge in fiqh and in tawheed and in everything. But they were more specialized in ihsan and in suluk. In order to safeguard the parameters of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, these scholars wrote these texts supported by evidences, so for us to see and to follow, but not to blindly follow. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah do not blindly follow anybody. Any human being after the prophets, we don't follow any of them blindly. The Prophet ﷺ said, which Imam Ibn Majah narrated in his Sunan and others, عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين من بعدي عضوا عليها بالنواجذ. In other words, you follow my Sunnah. This is an order from your beloved ﷺ. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد. And the third one, اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد. He said, you should follow my Sunnah. My Sunnah is my way. And not only my Sunnah, here's the other exception. The Sunnah of those pious khulafa after me. And those pious khulafa are four. Abu Bakr wa Umar wa Uthman wa Ali radiyallahu anhum ardahum. In other words, the Sunnah of the four khulafa is also a Sunnah. You know this second adhan that you do in Isha and Jum'ah? You first do that, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and then you do in a second adhan. This is the Sunnah of Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was only one adhan. And so as the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, and so was it the time of Sayyidina Umar, and Sayyidina Uthman. He said, it's getting too big, and a lot of people here. We should make two adhan so we can make people aware. So he said, he ordered them to make two adhan, and the Sunnah of Sayyidina Uthman is a Sunnah. Because the Prophet said it's a Sunnah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khulafa Rashideen. Wallahi, we are so short of understanding even some of their attributes, these khulafa, these pious four. And we are so behind, we just know some few events happened in their lives. And especially, we are guilty in the Sayyidina Uthman. We don't mention anything about Sayyidina Uthman. And about Sayyidina Ali. We don't mention anything about them. These two, the last two, some people mention. We're still falling short for Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar. But we mentioned some about Sayyidina Abu Bakr, but Sayyidina Uthman, you almost hear nothing about him. except he was generous. But this is Sayyidina Uthman ruled for 12 years. We only know he was generous. Allahu Akbar. Married two of the daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Two. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if I had more daughters, I would give you, ya Uthman. What do you know about Sayyidina Uthman? Well, he was generous. Okay, we know. They're all generous. Tell me one of the Sahaba, especially the four Khulafa, that was not generous. Can you come up with them? They're all generous. So, but we don't know anything about him. And the other one that we fall short, very short also, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib, Amir al-Mu'mineen. We don't know anything about him. He ruled 6 years. He ruled earth at that time, earth. From all the way from Khurasan, which is all the way, almost on the borders of China, all coming through that northern part of Afghanistan, Pakistan, now Uzbekistan, all that area, Iran, Iraq, Hijaz, Yemen, Egypt, down to Africa, except Sham, yani basically a little bit. That was all under his rule, under Sayyidina Ali's rule. Ruled three-quarters of earth. We still don't know anything about him. What happened? 6 years he ruled them, not 2 days. 6 years. Almost 6 years. 6 years minus few months. But anyways, that's some inshallah some other time. The point is, dear brothers and sisters, is these methods and these books and these, the science of tawheed, the science of hadith, the science of fiqh and the suluk and ihsan, were all initiated so we can have some guidelines and some standards, we Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, so we know what to follow, a check and reference point so we don't go astray. And these scholars, radiallahu anhum, they made that effort and they presented these works. Of course, the most important of all of them is the ilm of tawheed, which is the science of tawheed, which we will talk about after the break. Don't go away. Sallallahu wasallam ala Muhammad wa alihi. Al-Imam Tahawi al-Hanafi rahimahullah ta'ala, this is the beginning of his text. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. هذا ذكر بيان عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة على مذهب فقهاء الملة أبي حنيفة النعمان بن ثابت الكوفي وأبو يوسف يعقوب بن إبراهيم الأنصاري وأبي عبد الله محمد بن الحسن الشيباني رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين وما يعتقدون من أصول الدين ويدينون به رب العالمين. This is the introduction. And the introduction meaning, this is the bayan or the declaration of the aqidah, which means the faith of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, according to the fuqaha of this sect. The fuqaha of this millah. Millah means sect. The group of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Abu Hanifa al-Nu'man ibn Thabit al-Kufi rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Abu Hanifa, his name al-Nu'man bin Thabit al-Kufi, wa Abu Yusuf Ya'qub ibn Ibrahim al-Ansari, wa Abi Abdullah Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Shaybani. Imam al-Tahawi basically is telling us that the Aqidah of Al-Sunnah is basically demonstrated and shown by those three scholars, which are actually among the pillars of Al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, is that is what they said, that they believe in the articles of faith and what they say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, the first item, نَقُولُ فِي تَوْحِيدِ اللَّهِ مُعْتَقِدِينَ بِتَوْفِيقِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاحِدٌ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهِ. The meaning, Imam Tahawi is saying, we say in the tawheed of Allah, believing in the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word tawheed, what does this really mean? Of course, many people think tawheed means the unity. They say the unity of Allah. You heard that before? Many times the tawheed, the unity of Allah. And I wonder, what is uniting with what? Uniting what with what? Unity of Allah, what do you mean by that? What needs to be united? The tawheed does not mean unity. when it has to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It may mean unity when it has to do with people. Let's make tawheed of people. Let's get them together and unite them. But when it means, when it is applied to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means that He is subhanahu wa ta'ala the absolute unique, that nothing is like Him. Because there's nothing that needs to be united. Unity, that's a serious misnomer that wal'iyadu billah may lead to kufr. Uniting what with what? In the English language, tawheed is translated as monotheism, believing in one Lord, or believing in one God, or believing in one Creator, versus polytheism, those who believe in two or more, or five or 100 or 300 different gods, creators. Our point here is not to comment on what they do, but the difference in the definitions. So tawheed, according to us, means that we say in the absolute, the attributes of absolute uniqueness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The attributes of the absolute uniqueness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in Allah wahid, in Allah wahidun la sharika lahu. Now this is something that we have to stop at and say, what do we mean by in Allah wahidun la sharika lahu? What does that mean? What does wahid mean? Who knows what wahid mean? Of course you have many things that we can talk about with wahid. Wahid does not mean number one. It doesn't mean number one. Again, that's a misconception. Because number one entails that before number one there is a zero. And after number one there is a two. And after number two there is a three. And when we say Allah wahid, it means that there is no Lord but Him. Wahid has no partners. Not only that. الواحد في ذاته وصفاته وأفعاله. It means He is absolute unique, and nothing is similar to Him in the self, in the actions, and in what He is subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His attributes. Absolute unique in His attributes, nothing is like Him. طيب. Why we take, let me take a step back and say, why do we say we have to study aqidah first? What is the significance? What is aqidah? Why not fiqh, for example, or other things? Because in fiqh, let's say, if you study fiqh, and you know the difference between the fara'id of salah and the fard of salah, what's obligatory in salah, and the sunnah of salah, what is sunnah in salah, what is wajib in salah, what is mandub, or it's encouraged in salah, what is discouraged in salah, what invalidates salah, all these things. If you know them, then you know how to pray, right? If you don't know them, then your prayer may be invalid. And you don't know the difference between nawaqid of salah, between the invalidators of salah and the validators of salah, between the sunnah of salah and the farad of, and the fard of salah, between, maybe you make a mistake, you don't know, without knowing, and the prayer is invalid. But in aqidah, making a mistake makes what invalid? Makes your faith invalid. In other words, what would happen? Departing the circle of Islam would lead to where? To Jahannam. To kufr, to blasphemy. And that's not forgiven. Kufr is not forgiven. Sins may be forgiven. But kufr is not forgiven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Allah does not forgive blasphemy. but everything else may be forgiven. Therefore, mistake in aqaid or mistake in faith may lead, I'm not saying always will, but may lead at times, وَلَيَّدُ بِاللَّهِ, to departing the circle of Islam without knowing. Just like those who invalidate their prayers, they think they're praying, but maybe their prayers are invalid and they don't know. But there's one problem, and there's a huge, bigger problem. Now we go back to قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَد. We said Allahu Wahid, right? Wahid means one that has no similar to him. And Ahad, what is the difference between Wahid and Ahad? Al-Ahad, the scholar said that it is the one who does not consist of things that can be divided, nor is he does he consist of a thing that cannot be divided. This may sound a little bit too complicated, but let me explain you this. In life, you realize things in either that they consist of parts or they don't. For example, the tiniest of things, this thing here, is all made of things put together. Your body is made of cells. Billions of cells make up your body. And then the smallest thing in the that we know, science knows so far, is the atom. Dharra, atom. An atom can be still divided. You have neutrons, protons, and electrons. So, but they say this is the smallest unit. The protons, electrons, you cannot divide them anymore. But the atom itself can be divided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not something that can be divided to further and not something that cannot be. It's neither. Because both are a creation of Allah. In other words, we say in our prayers, Subhanallah al-Azim. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. And when you do sujood, you say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. How many times do you say that? Every day, so many times. There's so much concentration in Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, every Muslim, every time you do ruku', say again, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Then you go to ruku', again repeat, Subhan Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi. And then you read the Fatiha, and then you read, سبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض يسبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون. All these, سبحان الله, how many times you say? Then what does the word سبحان mean? We say سبحان, what does it mean? Who knows? What does سبحان الله mean? What does تسبيح? We say تسبيح, we're doing تسبيح. Because this is a center, everybody prays. Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah. Why are we saying Subhanallah? This is what happened. When Adam alayhi salam came, Allah sent Adam, he came with the Tawheed. Because there's a hadith by Muslim and Bukhari that Nabi salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi wa alayhi said, Al-Anbiya'u ikhwatun li'illat. دينهم واحد وأمهاتهم شتى. Which means that the prophets are like brothers to the same mother. Their deen is one. The deen is one. إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. Which means the توحيد. The توحيد is one. طيب. From Adam عليه السلام till the end. توحيد is one. Okay. Fine. Adam عليه السلام came and gave people توحيد. Believe in Allah. Who nothing is like him. He is not similar to anything. The point of Tawheed, and this is what we're going to do, Tawheed goes into three things. Number one, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be attributed with. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be attributed with. what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may be attributed with. In other words, At-Tawheed goes into three aspects. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be attributed with. Al-Sami' Al-Basir Al-Qawi Al-Aziz Al-Jabbar Al-Mutakabbir. Attributes of Allah. You must attribute Him with that. These are His attributes. The second thing, what Allah cannot be attributed with. For example, having a partner cannot be attributed with that. Being weak cannot be attributed with that. Being similar to the creation in any way, shape, fashion or form cannot be attributed with that. Those are the main two areas that we have to concentrate on. Therefore, what we know in Tawheed and what we're gonna learn about Tawheed is we're gonna learn about the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is the one that we worship? Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We have to come to know Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here's what Al-Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala said. Al-Imam Al-Ghazali said, Ma'rifatullahi jalla wa ala la tatimmu ala sabilil ihata. In other words, the translation, that knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you really cannot encompass Him, you cannot know Him. But only you will know what He may be attributed with and what He cannot be attributed with. His attributes. Because your mind is incapacitated, because we evolve as human beings. In other words, what we know today, what we think is possible, or what we think is impossible today, may be very possible in 10 years. In other words, I'll say this, can you, right now, is there a flight to the moon and back in 1 hour? There isn't. You cannot go to the moon and come back in 1 hour. Impossible. If somebody tells you, where were you? You tell them, well, I was in the moon and I just come back. They say, you're crazy. But maybe in 10 years, it's very possible. A few hundred years ago, Galileo, the Italian scientist, who said that Earth is flat. No, actually, he's telling them the Earth was round, not oval, not flat. I'm sorry. He told them that Earth, like, he said, you know, people of the church, all these priests, they said, I have some news for you. What's the news? He said, you kept telling people that Earth is flat, but really, Earth is not flat. Oh, you're a blasphemer, kafir, kill him. See, radical? Right, that's radical. What do you mean, kill him? He said, the Earth is not flat. Take a trip around the Earth and you'll see, you'll come back to the same point. Earth is oval, it's round. They said, no, how can you look at this? Everything you see is right flat. How can you say it's round? Huh? So kill him. Then they put him on they want to hang him. They said, you know what, I believe. Earth is not flat. Earth is not oval, it's flat. They say, okay, now you're a believer, go. Huh? This is where extremism takes people. Sometimes those who are closed-minded, they cannot accept anything. So they go into like that, kill him. Because that's what some people think, that language of violence. Alhamdulillah, in Islam, we don't have violence. We don't believe in violence. And some people think that Islam is a violent religion. Islam is the most peaceful religion. Islam did not come to kill people. Islam came to give people life. And not only to give people life, to better the quality of their lives. Whether they are Muslims or not Muslims. Yani Islam did not come to put a gun to the Christians or the Jews and say, if you don't believe, we're going to shoot you. No, we didn't say that. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَدِينَ لَا إِكْرَاهَ فِي الدِّينِ. You don't want to believe? Islam does not force people to become Muslims. That's very wrong misconception. Many people say, oh, Islam spread by the sword. Islam never spread by the sword. Never. Islam spread by the belief of those who believed in it. And under the Islamic ruling and under the Khulafa al-Rashidin, go look in the seerah of Abu Bakr, wa Umar, wa Uthman, wa Ali radiallahu anhuma, you will see they were Christians and Jews, and these people lived very comfortably in all their honor and all their pride, and every rights is preserved under the state of Islam, and they are just equal citizens to Muslims. Islam gives hope, growth and opportunity to all mankind, whether they are Muslims or not Muslims. And we don't have a quarrel with anybody, really. We have mercy for everybody. This is this Muslim's job is mercy. Whether they believe that's great. They don't believe that's also that's their job. Islam believes in freedom. I'll give you this before I go any further. Al-Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, Amir al-Mu'mineen, in his khilafah, a Christian man comes to him. Christian man from Iraq, comes to Amir al-Mu'mineen, said, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I have a problem." "What is the problem?" He said, "I'm a Christian man." He said, "Yeah." And he said, "Some people are employing me and they're giving me a lower rate than they give Muslims." They are? "Ya Abdullah ibn Abi Rafi." Right away he calls who? The Minister of Finance, of Economy. "Minister, come here. His name is Abdullah ibn Abi Rafi. Come here." Right away, one normal Christian man who lives in the state, he calls the minister right away. "Come here. Who's in charge?" "Abdullah ibn Abi Rafi, come here." He said, "What are you doing?" "Of course, you come to Ali ibn Abi Talib, you know you're already shaking. What is he going to do? You know, what did I do wrong?" He said, "This man works for us." He asked him, "Yeah, he works." He said, "How come he is paid lower than you pay Muslims?" He said, "You go and give him from Bayt Mal Muslimin what satisfies him and his family."